of both to keep you going. Does that make sense? So I've got two stacks. You're welcome. And I hope that they're all gone and I have to print some more up, okay? So I'm going to, would you lay these down on the front pew there over toward the left side, because our deacons are going to be coming up a little later. They're there for you, and I hope that it's beneficial for you, and I hope that you take that challenge. You know, if we're all reading in God's Word together, it'll change your life as well as the life of the church, you know? Have some announcements for you. One concerning our women's ministry. They're going to be offering a cooking class for 3 weeks, beginning in 2 weeks, January the 13th at 2 o'clock. The classes will be $25. That will include the food, the classes, the cookbook, and a starter kit for the kitchen. You're invited to be a part of this, and we also hope that this will serve as an outreach effort in our community. If you have neighbors or friends, maybe some newlywed couples where, you know, they don't always come into a marriage cooking a lot, so this might be beneficial for them. Also ask you to pray for the Grace House as they seek new leadership, and also as you consider making a contribution toward the food ministry that is there. I did not get a newsletter over my email this week. I don't know if it got thrown into some other file somewhere, but I was really excited this morning to see that we surpassed our Lottie Moon Christmas goal. Our goal was $5,000. We're currently at $5,518. I hope that after today and maybe next week that it'll surpass $6,000. It'd be great if that was the case. So thank you so much for your generosity. Join us Wednesday for a time of prayer, either in the morning at 7:30 or in the evening at 6 o'clock. Next Sunday, our ladies' Bible study will resume at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall. They'll be studying the book Ephesians, Head Held High. This is a marvelous, challenging book of the Bible. It's the most marked up book of the Bible that's in my Bible. Quite challenging, and I'm sure that you would be very much blessed by being a part of this study. Be a great study for our men to have as well. A week from Tuesday, we'll be having a blood drive here at the church from 2 to 7. And then moving to the following Saturday, a week from Saturday, will be our brotherhood. Are there other announcements that I might need to share? Okay, our verse of scripture that we've been on for quite some time. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Okay, look around. Is there anybody in here that you have a hard time loving? If so, bring this verse of scripture to heart. Looking at the negatives here at this point, stop passing judgment, criticizing and blaming one another. Do not grumble or complain against each other. Do not slander or speak evil or accuse one another. Do not lie to one another. And our new one this week is a negative, okay? Let us not become conceited, provoking, irritating, and envying each other. You might look around and see some, they just irritate me to death. Is that the case? Okay. Take this verse to heart, and on the positive, we are to build up one another, encourage one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, be like-minded to one another, accept one another, comfort one another, be patient with one another, serve one another, look to the interest of one another, stir up and stimulate one another to love and good works, admonish one another, bear one another's burden, and clothe yourself with humility toward one another. You know, when you hear all of that, you begin to realize that the family, the church, is to be a very, very special relationship. One where everyone is accepted, everyone is loved, there is understanding, and we come together in like faith to worship and grow in our likeness to our Savior Jesus Christ. Our opening scripture this morning, if you would join with me in sharing these two verses, it says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." And we all say hallelujah, amen. Oh, my goodness, we're God's children, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ Jesus. With that in mind, let's worship together.
I decided to write a letter to a missionary couple from IMB who baptized me, mentored me, and discipled me during my life. And this is my way to say thank you to them. Dear Henry and Tasha, it's been a long time. I know we don't talk that frequently or had the chance to meet in person recently, even living in the same country, but I thought this could be a good opportunity to remind you how much I love you.
Your friendship and companionship changed my life. From having conversations with a 16-year-old girl who dressed all in black about life and being a teenager, to teach me the Bible at your house in Renee Street, to the summer camps, to pray for me countless times, and many, many more memories.
Well, most importantly, there was no relationship with the Lord. However, in your family, I felt true Christian love. The care and the kind words you both always had for me is something I always be grateful for.
Also, I finally found a great example on how to form a family centered in Jesus, the way you raised your kids, the hospitality you always had with your neighbors, and the love you had for each other made me realize that another life was possible.
You supported my dream of living in the United States, and most of all, you both taught me how to trust and surrender my life to Jesus.
And even in the lowest times, I proudly say I live a joyful life, and the Lord is my shepherd. With Him I lack nothing. I pray that many more lives could be touched by your love and care for the people. No matter the distance, you will always find a friend
and a sister in Christ in me. Los quiero mucho, Fio.
We needed to hear that.
Yes, we did.
That's because y'all were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that mean?
You can't do it by remote control. You can't mail it in. You can't show up on a Thursday and leave on a Sunday. You have to stay there.
Yeah. I think what was one of the most important things is that they were there. They were in Uruguay. They were present there. In Spanish, we say, estaban con nosotros, vivían con nosotros. And that changed me. That affected my life personally.
The book of Philippians tells us that Christ Jesus, existing in the form of God, emptied himself, taking on the likeness of men. This morning, I know Christmas is gone, but to bring in the new year, I just want to remind you that he did come to this earth as a baby to die, to come to die for our sins. We're going to stand and sing. There's a change in the bulletin. We're going to stand and sing, "Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne," hymn number 217. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5, and we're going to follow that up with "Go Tell It on the Mountain." He came, and our great commission is to go tell others about him. So if you would, stand with me and sing.
Jesus Christ is born, down in a lowly Jesus Christ is born.
Amen.
It is a special day as we are confronting a new year ahead for us, and I want to challenge you over the next several weeks with a passage of Scripture found in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. I also want us to open with prayer. We have some folks that are going through difficult times. I received some prayer requests this week, of course, from Nancy and Bill. Many of you are aware that Bill has COVID, and Nancy needs our prayers as well as Bill. And I received word that Gwen and Dan are had a rough week and are going through some difficult times. And we have our continuing prayer requests that we pray for regularly. And let's begin. I ask that you pray for me. I've got a pull muscle that causes me problems when I stand. And that's the reason I sat through the music, and I have prayed the Lord might give me the ability to do what I need to do this morning, and he never fails. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this privilege of gathering and singing praises. We thank you for your word and the truth that we'll receive this morning. I pray that we might take these truths and be challenged by them and apply them to our life as this new year begins. And Lord, there are many who would like to be here this morning, but because of sickness, because of other issues that they're facing, they're unable to be here. Lord, we have friends that are going through difficult times, and we just pray that you might bring healing, that you might relieve pain and discomfort. And Lord, that in all of this, that you might be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, and I'm going to read through verse 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, that first phrase says, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian, it gives us instructions. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Further instructions here. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Instructions for us. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. God's word says that he disciplines us for our good. He disciplines us so that we can share in his holiness. Verse 7. In these you too once walked when you lived in them. Before you were a Christian, you allowed this to be a part of your life. Verse 8. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. What this passage is all about is putting off the person you used to be before you became a Christian and putting on that new person that you are in Christ Jesus. Verse 11. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Instructions in verse 12 now. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, in other words, the most important thing, is to put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That sounds familiar to the verse of Scripture we've been sharing for so long. Putting on love and loving one another. Verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The section I'm reading from the ESV this morning, the English Standard Version, and this passage of Scripture is entitled, Putting on the New Self. God's desire is that we be conformed, changed in the image of his Son. We read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where it says, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Putting on the new self. You know, we are slow to change. We don't like to change. But when we do, we have those times that seem to fit us well. For some people, we start a change on Monday. Monday's a good time. My son-in-law, he's a flight nurse on Air Evac, the helicopter. Sometimes you see him flying over. And by it being an aircraft, he has to maintain a certain weight because of that. And there are times when he might eat just a little bit more than he should, and he realizes that he's putting on a little weight, and he'll say, a lot of times on Sunday after a big meal, tomorrow, being Monday, it's on. It's on tomorrow. Things are going to be different tomorrow, being Monday. And then there's the first of the year, New Year's Day. You know, we have what we call New Year's resolutions, where we set goals, we make commitments, we turn over new leaves, and, you know, that's a wonderful thing to do. And I've got news for you. If you're looking at some resolutions, if you're looking at some goals and some commitments, tomorrow is not only New Year's Day, it's Monday. It's Monday as well. Many of you have a desire for some change in your life. For some of you, it might be in the physical realm. You know, you too might want to think about losing a pound or two. Maybe that's on your mind. Or you might think about doing some exercise, looking at the physical person that you are. I guarantee you those Weight Watchers classes are going to be crowded in the next week or two because of those types of resolutions. And gym memberships are going to go up over the next week or two. There's nothing wrong with making some commitments about the physical body. And then there's others that are thinking about the emotional body. Some of you are stressed out. You need to cut some stress out of your life. You need to slow down. You need to eliminate some responsibilities. Maybe thinking of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where it says that we're to throw off everything that hinders us. There are those that are struggling in that area, maybe even leading you to experience some depression on occasion. That's fine. Make those commitments. Still others might be thinking about the mental and working your mind even more. Do you realize that many of you are at an age where you can go back to college debt without having to pay a thing? It's free to you. You might want to study something you thought about studying earlier in your life. And there are those who have confronted me through the years, especially after Melanie played such a beautiful song just a minute ago, I've always wanted to play the piano. Some of you would nod at that. Well, why not? Why not make that a commitment this year? Others of you are perhaps in the area of finances. Oh, you're saying it's time for us to put that B word together and start keeping to it. You know, that B word is a budget. You know, that's an awful word, isn't it? Some of you are ready to make a commitment to pay off debt. Some of you want to become a follower of Dave Ramsey and that total money makeover. I was Dave Ramsey before Dave Ramsey was cool. That was me, folks. Maybe I watched my mom and dad live from week to week to week, and I said, I don't want to live that way. Some of you might want to be making some commitments as far as relationships are concerned. You might look at that husband or that wife and you say, you know, we need to have a little shock into our relationship. Maybe we need to set aside a date night or some time away or vacation. That's all good. And for some of you relationally, there might be some relationships that might need to be mended. I was so pleased and excited this week when I was shared with that a family, they had a broken relationship within the family for 30 years. And that relationship was mended this week. That's not unusual for families, folks. There might be those in your family that there's been a broken relationship, something happened. And it might be your goal. We're going to mend that thing. We're going to make it right. How many of you are ready to follow through on some New Year's resolutions? Set some goals. Make some commitments. What we're seeking as we're doing this is some contentment, some peace, maybe some greater happiness and joy. Maybe some security, love, maybe some hope. But there's one thing that we left out just then. And that's in the area of our spiritual life. Setting spiritual goals, commitments, resolutions. It might begin with one of these read through the Bible plans that I have here at the front. You know, we sing a hymn sometimes. It's been a while since I've heard it about resolutions. Do you remember that hymn, I Am Resolved? Oh, yeah. I am resolved. Listen to these verses, and these might become your resolutions as well. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. You know, the Bible says, love not the world or anything that's in the world. It says, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to follow the Savior. Oh, what a resolution to make today. It goes on, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living way. You can take that resolution right there. And then it says, I am resolved, and who will go with me? I'm making this resolution. Who's going to be my accountability partner? Okay? That's what it's saying here. Who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, will walk the heavenly way. Wow. Right from him, resolutions, spiritual resolutions. Jonathan Edwards, who's widely regarded as one of America's most important theologians, he was mature beyond his years. At the age of 19, he knew his weaknesses and was aware of the destructive nature of sin. So he resolved to make and keep certain resolutions in his effort to live for the glory of God. And this is what he said. Being sensitive that this is at the age of 19, folks. Listen to what he said. Being sensitive that I'm unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. Now, Do you know how many resolutions he made? Anybody? He made 70 resolutions. I would encourage you to research that and read some of those resolutions. Let me share Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest theologians ever, what he wrote at the age of 19. The very first one was this: whatever I do, I will do to give the most glory to God, and also for my own good and pleasure as long as I live, no matter how long it takes to master. I also will fulfill my calling to do good to all mankind as much as I am able, no matter how much difficulty I face. Wow. You can tell he put a lot of thought into that. The fourth one of the 70 read, I vow to never do anything in thought or deed, whether it be a big thing or a little thing, except to do that which brings honor and glory to God. I will also stay away from those things that do not honor God as much as I possibly can and whenever possible. I will try to put a stop to activities that bring God dishonor. What a resolution. The fifth one, I realize the importance of the time that I have been given by God. I vow to never lose one moment to worldly activities, but constantly think of ways to make the most of the time I have. The seventh one, I vow to never do anything that I would be ashamed of if I knew that I was facing imminent judgment. He was well aware that God knew everything and that God was with him all the time. The eighth one, I vow to live with the understanding that I am no better than the most wicked person to ever live. That's humility. He went on to say, I vow to allow this attitude to remind me that I am constantly in need of confession, talking about repentance, and constantly in need of God's mercy. Jonathan Edwards at the age of 19. Maybe now wouldn't be a bad time for us to stop and sit down and think about some spiritual resolutions that we need to make. David made a resolution in Psalm 17:3 when he says, though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I am resolved that my mouth will not sin. Okay. That's one that we can sure take in, isn't it? We are told in the book of James about the tongue and what damage it can do. It's like a spark that can set the woods on fire and so forth. Daniel also made a resolution in the first chapter, verse 8, when he says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. My goodness, it's not easy to say no to good food, is it? But that's what he did. Here lies the key to the new you, folks, found in Colossians 3, 1 through 17, where it tells us that when we are saved, we're to put off or put to death the deeds of the old man, and we are to put on or clothe ourselves with the deeds of the new man or the new you. Look at verses 1 through 4. We brought attention to this. What does he say? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. How easy it is to get so involved in the things of this world that our focus is on this world. What he's saying in these verses is that our focus needs to change. In that second verse, he says, set your minds on things above that are above, not on things on this earth. How easy it is for ourselves to be so consumed with the things of this earth. And he says, change your focus and it'll change who you are. Verse 15, 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. So the question is, what are we to put off and what are we to put on? It says that we're to put off that sinful nature and we're to put on the spiritual nature. That's verses 5 through 15. Verses 5 through 11 has to do with what we're to put to death. We're to bring this to an end. We're to put it off. What are we to put off? Look at verse 5, if you would. The very first thing that we find there is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. And that can relate to each and every one of us. There are those who are sexually, emotionally, and mentally involved with someone other than your spouse. Some of you might say, well, look around, Brother Phil. Some of us are a little older. I don't know that that would apply to us. But do you know, unfaithfulness is as high with people in their 70s as it is with people who are in their early 20s. Can you believe that? But it doesn't have to be just physically. It can be mentally, and you can become emotionally involved as well. And you can become mentally and emotionally involved with other people without them even knowing it. It's amazing what can take place in the theater of your mind. It's amazing what people can seek out on their computer as far as pornography and other things. It says, this might have been the way you used to be. You got to put that off because you're not that person anymore. Put off sexual immorality, premarital sex, living with someone, homosexual relationships, and other perverted relationships, they all fall into this category. It can't be a part of who you are as a child of God. In that fifth verse, it also says that we're to put off impurity. There's been a lot of people who've been cleaning house. Am I right? You know, your family came in, you had the decorations up. Many of you have taken your decorations down. You've cleaned house. My daughter, I believe, was doing it yesterday. But you know, that's your physical house. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're to clean house under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are to be holy. He wants us to be holy as He is holy. He tells us in 1 Peter 1:14 through 16. It begins by saying, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passion of your former ignorance. Don't be conformed to the passions of who you used to be before you became a child of God. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, everything. Since this is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What a challenge to be holy. And you know, He will discipline us when we're not, because He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be as His Son. That was the prayer of Jesus in John 17, 17, where He says, sanctify them in the truth. Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. As you get into your word, as you're reading through the scripture, God's Spirit will work and speak to you and purify you and bring you into a greater state of holiness. Put it off. It's not who you are. It shouldn't be a part of your life. The next one we find in the fifth verse is that of passion and lust. And then I'm going to pull in the next one, which is evil desires, because I think it comes together somewhat. That passion, that lust that can lure you into doing things you would never otherwise have done. It's like a bait, that passion. It's what, you know, you have things that come to your mind. And perhaps it could even be in that area that we're talking about, other sexual immorality, where you become maybe emotionally involved or mentally involved with someone else. But it's what you do with it that's important. You know, you can allow it to turn into a passion or a lust. You can think in terms of David and Bathsheba. I think you find that in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Number one, David was where he wasn't supposed to be. He should have been at war with his men. And then we find him up late, and then he begins to look, and he looks upon Bathsheba. But you know, there's no sin in a look. It's what you do following that look. You know, you might see, you know, sometimes we see things that we don't intend on seeing. And we have to say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean to see that, you know. But that's not what David did. David worked around, pulled some strings here and there, had Bathsheba come to him, and they had a relationship. A baby was born. Her husband was murdered. The baby died. A lot of bad things happened. I love what James has to say about evil desires. We're bringing these two together. He gives us instructions on how sin can progress. Beginning with the 14th verse of the first chapter of James, it says, each one is tempted when by his own evil desire, by his own evil desire, by his passion, by his lust, he is dragged away and enticed. He's baited. Like a fish, there it is out there. What are you going to do with that bait? Or as a fish, are you going to fake the guy off and kick that bait with your tail and fish and swim away? Or are you going to take the bait? You going to take that bait? It says, he's dragged away and enticed. He's baited. Then after desire has conceived. You follow me? David looked upon Bathsheba, and then all of a sudden in his mind there became some desire. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. You see, there's a progress, there's a progression there. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Now, in David's situation, it gave birth to the death of Uriah, gave birth, death to the baby. It was actual physical death. But so often, it is a spiritual thing. Now, when you think of spiritual death, you're not thinking of a death of a relationship. If you're a child of God, once you become a child of God, you're always a child of God. But what can happen is your fellowship can be broken. Your fellowship. And that happens when sin becomes a part of who we are. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 34 and 35, it says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. What's it saying? Same thing that's saying in Colossians. Have put it to death, have put it off, have crucified the sinful nature with what? With its passions and lust and desires. That's what it says right here, going along with what we've talked about. And then it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let the Spirit be in control. Let the Spirit convict you. And when the Spirit convicts you, you repent of that sin. You put it to death. And then as we move on here, we're to put to death covetousness and greed, it says. We are to care more about others than we do ourselves. Humility. Luke 12:15 says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then in 1 John 3:17, it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need and has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? He says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. We stop there this morning. We'll continue on. But the verse that we focused on in the beginning was, for those God foreknew, he also predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That should be our resolution, our goal, our commitment as this new year begins. Lord, I pray that during this coming year, I might become more and more like Jesus. I pray that your Holy Spirit might bring about a change in my life. The question is, do you want to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus? If you do, there has to be some change. Those things that you used to be involved in before you became a child of God, they have to be done away with. He uses the word put to death. Put off. Do you want to release the power of God's Spirit within you to bring about this change in your life? Now, I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know. You know, next week there's a continuing list of things. But let me tell you, you know what you struggle with. You know where Satan tempts you? You know your weakness just like he knows your weakness. And it's time to take some action. It's time to come and kneel and say, God, I pray that through the power of your Spirit that I might put these things to death in my life, and that each day in this coming year I might become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. That should be our goal. It happens when we're obedient. Are you willing just to give it your all? Make a full commitment. I pray that that's the case for you. And I pray that maybe where you are or even coming here to the front this morning, that you might allow that to be a part of your prayer and your commitments this coming year. If you've never received Christ Jesus as your Savior, some of the things that I've said this morning doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Maybe you're satisfied with that life that you're living. I hope not. I hope that God's Spirit is working in your life this morning, drawing you to salvation. Whatever the case might be, ever how God's Spirit is speaking to you, even right now, I pray that you'll respond where you are or respond by coming forward. As we stand and as we sing, I invite you to respond.
Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 500, Trust and Obey.
Do his good will. trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And some people, as a child of God, wonder why they don't have the joy and the happiness. And it's because of a lack of trust, faith, and a lack of obedience. That too can be a resolution. Let me share with you this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, from the book of 1 Corinthians, beginning in the 23rd verse of the 11th chapter. For I received from the Lord what also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man, a person, examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you will be ill and some have died." Let us pray in a prayer of thanksgiving for this supper. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your Spirit that touched our hearts and drew us to salvation. We thank you for the faith that you birthed within us. And Lord, as your children, we pray that your Spirit might guide us in this coming year in such a way that others see a difference in us as we become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loves, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ.
By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of
works. You stay with me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do this in remembrance.
Scripture says that they sang a hymn and then they departed. This will be our benediction as we stand. And just join in with me, okay?
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that
New Year to all. God's blessings on you.